February 23, 2020, so what for Pedro's show?
Nu gaat Coltrane inderdaad van melodieën uit. En dat zal in de toekomst bepaalde gevolgen hebben.
But now that I'm trying to write from the melodies first, the melody will be more important. And so eventually I might derive some melodies which are of maybe have some quality or some lasting value of some sort. Melodies that can be worked into interludes or introductions or passages, you know, like and maybe it'll be time to add a horn and maybe really get a band, see?
Have any idea what kind of horn it will be?
Well, I guess a trumpet, you know. I don't want a trumpet alone. I'd like to have somebody like Eric Dolphy, but that's impossible.
There's nobody that plays trumpet that way.
No, you know, I like to have Eric, really. I like to have Eric Dolphy and a trumpet, but Eric is he's got his own band now. But maybe I could find some young man who plays more than one reed, see? If I get somebody who plays several reeds and a trumpeter, see?
Thank you.
Pedro Show. Happy Thursday, Brother Matt. How are you?
Good. Just staying warm in the storm.
We got a big Canadian, a storm from Canada, rather, come down. You know, there's no mountains from the Midwest out there, prairie, so they're taking the shortcut. Usually at this time of year, we get winds at Santa Ana, and they're warm ones. Mm. But not this baby, and you got shit blowing. I see here, blown away.
Flying
here
around.
South part.
I made that pile of palm fronds out
there.
Oh,
that's right. It's a big pile. That's why I had to park here. And in my part, shit got blown around, too. But we need the rain.
Yeah. Snow levels down low. Right. Kind of looks neat.
All right. So, we'll start off the show with John Coltrane talking to Michael DeRuyter about enlarging his band. Get more pieces, right? Let's get a trumpet player. You want somebody like Eric Dolphy. Eric Dolphy ain't on trumpet, but you get the point. 1961, December 1st. And then we had part one of this big piece called Therapy from our guest today, Brother Matt. Brendan Etter and his Brendan Etter's Ensemble with the first part, QX2021. Because of those Estonian software engineers with their Skype invention, we have with us Brother Brendan.
Hello.
Welcome aboard.
Welcome.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
Second time on the show. Are you once again from Echo Park?
That's right.
Okay. I think
hailing.
It's been pretty near.
Literally hailing from Echo Park.
Okay. 3 years.
3 years. No, I've been here. I've been here for
9 months. Short. 2 or 3 months short of 3 years since you were last on the show. And in that time, you created this fucking piece, Therapy.
Right.
Tell us about it. Enlighten us, Brother Brendan.
I'll do my best. It's sort of an ambient classical kind of jazz album. I recorded at this church that I work at on Sundays, you know, just to make some money. I do sound at this church, and I had access to this place, so that's where I recorded it. And I mean, I would have made the album no matter what, but it was pretty cool to record it and build a little studio in this big sanctuary, and just let the woodwinds do their thing.
And where'd you compose it?
At home.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, just
Okay.
Yeah.
So, and then you would bring the music in there and teach. I guess the people ended up doing it. We should talk about who played, who's part of the Brendan Ensemble for this piece.
For this album, I won't even be able to remember everyone because we did two sessions and the players changed and they were a year apart, the sessions. But for the most part, it's got Amber Wyman on bassoon, who's been playing with my ensemble for quite a while now. She plays a pretty big role with her playing. Henry Solomon on alto sax. My buddy Eric McCann, a bassist, on bass. and then it starts to get blurry. I feel like I'm going to screw it up, but with Andrew Conrad on saxophone, on a clarinet, bass clarinet. This guy Sergio Coelho as well on clarinet.
Dolphy. Okay.
It keeps going.
How did you meet? Well, some of these cats are your buddies, right? Like the bass man. But how'd you meet these other folks? What's the connect?
Yeah. A handful of them are, I'd say, they're friends. Honestly, it's a lot of USC. Like, reaching out a long time ago and getting in touch with people that went to USC, you know, because they're producing all these amazing musicians there. So it's kind of just, it's been like, you know, the Rolodex has just expanded with all these great players over the years, like Henry Solomon, who plays sax.
What's your connect with USC?
Nothing. I can't afford that.
No, but you must have somehow got connected. Somehow.
Yeah.
You went there.
I wish. Yeah, I wish. But no, my friend Adam Ratner, who's a really killer jazz guitarist out in L.A.
It only takes one, right? It only takes one, and then you're fucking
seriously.
Like Flint. Yeah.
It exploded, yeah. Yeah. Basically, I think from Adam Ratner and then Lewis Cole, this amazing drummer, composer. I hope you've heard his stuff. He's wild. Really good.
No,
and,
I'd like to. Maybe later on, you flow me some links so I could check it out.
Yeah.
Because this idea, I got to tell you, Brother Brendan, this idea of drummer men being composers, I am so fucking into.
Yeah, they always nail it.
They just got a different, you know, because they've had to deal with big pictures. So they know how to fucking get into it. Yeah.
Yeah. And they probably see people playing too much and doing, it's like they have a better knack for arranging because they've been so frustrated over the years watching people you know, jerk off on their guitars too much. And so when they get behind the manuscript or whatever, so to speak, they have a better sensibility sometimes, sort of ingrained in them, some kind of maturity. I don't know.
I just wanted to get more and more happening. I think it's so please flow me later. But let's listen to the second part here. Pure. Ride the world. This is the second part of Therapy, people. Brian Etter and Sal. Thank you.
Give me the sun. book, so they burnt the books to try to control just what people know. It was hidden in a book, so they burnt the books to keep the kids from finding out the things they had done. Better to know nothing than know something you don't want to know. Who they really are, they didn't know.
Walk for Pedro show that chunk of music started off with the second part of Therapy, Brendan Hedder's ensemble, Pure Ride the World in parentheses. Position Normal. Hadn't heard from these guys in a while. I played one, maybe the last edition. Chris got out to me. He's back making music. Position Normal. I go, wait, remember my Waste of Space place?
Mm. Yeah, yeah. So,
that's first place like internet music. Mm. Yeah. So Position Normal. After that, Thurston. Thurston's got a new album. And here's...
does he?
Yeah. I wouldn't shit you, Ben. Here's a tune from it, Hypnogram. Maybe it's out in a couple weeks. Maybe I got an early thing from him. Samuel Locke Ward, but brand new, out of Iowa City. He's got a tune. It's kind of topical. It's called Banned Books. Yeah, it's from the governor of Florida, right? Objections after that. Brand new band that came out of Leeds. It's part of the bilge pump people. I think two out of three of them are bilge pumpers. Who used to also be Solanke before that. And better luck next time. And then a proj called 19:40, so maybe 19:40. Anyway, Mashiach de Topi. Delta Day. Mm-hmm. That's God, right? Del of, right? Italiano. Brother Cyrus gave me one of the first 7-inches he did. It was a split with this band called End Me, and his proj DIY. So SLS and Number One, DIY. And then, yeah, I know it's trippy calling a band DIY, but hey, I've heard worse things. One time we played this benefit, same music in Chinatown. Over the band was California. I said, you guys couldn't think of a
band. Ew. Fucking band. Are you kidding?
I shit me not. And nothing wrong with California. In fact, I like all 50 states. But man, come on. You got a band that's like naming a child.
Jesus.
Yeah. Okay.
It's a better name for a child than a band.
Yeah, I thought. Blue Gene Tierney. Bob Shep, his stage name. Huh? My brother Steve McKay on sax from Stooges. This is way back, right? Ann Arbor scene in the late 60s. Wood Nichols is the tune. Live at the Canterbury House, Ann Arbor, in 1968. Where Steve just came out from... Whoa, okay, brother man. just came out from Grand Rapids to go to school, right? That lasted a semester, and he ends up working at the record store where Ig worked, and that's how he got the Stooges. Anyway, everything's connected, people. And then out of Croatia, huh, the homeland.
Yeah.
A Kevlar Bikini.
Dobro.
These guys gave me a tune they just put out called Flirting with Nihilism. Don't do it, people. Or do it, but just flirt. Don't bear hug it. And finally, part three of the big piece, Therapy. Brendan Hedder Ensemble. Ended, but it ain't the end, people. It's just part three. Okay, so maybe you expand on the on this. What was the impetus behind the composition?
Like ending?
No, no, the whole enchilada.
Well, the whole thing, I think just kind of aesthetically, it's something I've been wanting to do. I've done a little music like that has no drums and it's more of this kind of ambient, kind of loop-based acoustic music. And honestly, one of the top kind of listen, you know, my most popular song is this cover of the Aphex Twin, that English guy. I don't know if you've heard
listened to his
music
a lot.
He's crazy.
I got a weird story about it. I saw him once. He came to play at Johnny Depp's. Used to be
the Viper
Room. Yeah, Viper
Room,
West Hollywood.
Oh, my God.
Okay, and so, because Brother Matt said there's this music called drum and bass. So I went up there to see the gig, and it was one guy and a bunch of machines. But it was pretty trippy.
Viper Room?
It used to be Central.
Filthy
McNasty. Yeah, and who was there? Chucky's in Love.
Chucky Weiss.
The
Goddamn Liars, yeah.
Always play there. Mm-hmm. And then I think in the 90s,
Johnny Depp, yeah. I think it's going to be a condo now or something.
Right, I think it's all that shit's getting knocked down for a condo. Because a couple doors down was the Licorice Pizza. That's where I bought Zero's first thing. But yeah, it was a trip, but it wasn't a bass player and a drummer. Yeah. But he had some intense rhythms going with these machines. Probably human being playing, unless they were like sports guy.
A giant rolling bass.
People do it. People do it. Yeah, so, but he had this ambient stuff as well that was, like, totally easygoing and really innovative, I thought. And anyway, I always liked it. So one of those covers did well, and it was basically in that kind of style that I've been, you know, wanting to do more of. Anyway, so I just sort of just made more music, and, you know, I thought, oh, my God, I could do this at the church for, you know, for free. So I composed this stuff, and yeah, I mean, there's sort of a kind of a spiritual component. I'm not really very spiritual, but there's sort of an exploratory thing going on in terms of like mortality and, it's weird. Some weird, interesting stuff happened. I was like researching these near-death experience survivors and things like that.
The anecdotes are crazy
these people have.
Taking stock of the human experience. But the title therapy sounds to me like trying to help with some kind of situation.
Yeah. I mean, music heals. And so, honestly, I mean, it was tough to settle on the title.
Brendan, with me, music is fucking lifeline.
Yeah, right? So, the ending song that we just listened to,
yes.
That's got Ethan Hammond, this organ player. Again, I cold emailed USC's organ department, and I said, hey, you got any organ players studying there that can improvise? And they're like, no, but this guy Ethan Hammond is at Yale now, and he just graduated from here, and he's getting his master's in organ performance. So he recorded on this Newberry Memorial organ at Yale on that song Ending. Massive. One of like the biggest organs in the world is on the album.
I'll tell you, I've been to that fucking cathedral in Sevilla, Spain. And you want to know a big fucking organ. These are like telephone pole fucking pipes. Yeah. Look, we're at the end of the first hour, February 23rd, 2023, of Dishwap Peters with special guest Brendan Eder. Other than that, hold tight for hour two.
February 23rd, 2023.
It's the second hour of the Wap from Biro Show.
Thank you. Maybe they could help you. I'm sorry, I can't.
Well, why can't you?
Because I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, I'm speaking in English. What more can I do? You're driving me into an erotic frenzy. Oh!
Too bad about you. You're talking about an 11-year-old child of whom I have no knowledge. You're talking about somebody meeting you here at this house of which I also have no knowledge. So I think you have the wrong...
But just wrong, no. Oh, my God, what are you doing?
I'm awfully sorry. I'm sorry.
No, you aren't. You have to tell me.
Thank you.
Watt for Pedro show. Start off the second hour with part four of therapy, the big piece. Brendan Netter, the Brendan Netter Ensemble. And this part is entitled Solace. So.
Yeah. Yeah, that's got Nyla Hunter on it. She's an awesome Angelino, born and raised harpist.
Okay.
Super cool. And, yeah, she played harp on that. And, yeah, it's cool meeting her and working with her.
Great.
Hope to do it more.
Medicine Singers after that with Reprise of a Cry. Puppet Midnight out of England with All Aboard the Flying Armchair.
Sounds like, yeah.
That fucking green velvet chair. Yeah. Remember those?
Yeah, those were great.
Paul Fulton's still going.
Oh, yeah, nice. Still got some up.
Brendan Etter, Ensemble, with part five, Isn't It True? And he didn't have a question mark, people, so he's making all declarative on us.
Yeah,
I'm getting declarative. After that with Rag. Okay, here's a title, Rubber O' Cement, East Bay stuff, Oaktown, with Glioblastoma multiform dat skiffle and the shapeshifting space lumps.
Yeah.
Wow, that's a mouthful.
Brendan Etter's Ensemble with fucking part six of the big piece therapy. This is number three, and in parentheses, rhubarb. Then we had John Truby. He's going to be a guest soon. Back in person, brother man. With Too Bad About. And prank phone call vein, right? Agnes Steck out of Texas with Pear Annoyed. Right? You take the K out of punk, yeah. And you got Pond Rock. Thank you, Brother Chris out of Eastern Texas. Finally, Brian Etter Ensemble with part seven, which he calls the interlude. So, Enlighten Us to Solace. Well, you already said it involved the harp player. So, when you were composing, though, did you have people in mind? Maybe some of your buddies, right?
Yeah, I had some people in mind, for sure. I mean, basically, Henry Solomon, sax player, you know, I was like, all right, he's gonna play on this, it's gonna be great. Amber Wyman, bassoonist. And with Nyla Hunter, yeah, she's been on my radar, like, ever since I heard her music. And I know she's in L.A., and she's an excellent harpist. So yeah, I wrote that little piece and hit her up, you know, and luckily she was down to play, yeah.
And so Solace, how's it fit into the big picture of the piece?
I don't know. It's kind of just a sad sounding song, I guess. So I called it that at Solace, but I don't know. It's just another
sad
track.
Like
maybe
like
it's an album
song?
Track.
You mean like a verklempt kind of?
Yeah, or like sort of, I don't know. Yeah, Solace.
Okay.
That just seems the
and
best
then,
word.
And then Rhubarb, number three. Or either or, and. I don't know.
That's your guy, Aphex Twin. He saw it, Viper Room.
Oh, that's the
a
one.
Cover.
Okay.
Yeah, so I listened to that ambient piece of his, and I just tried to transpose it, you know.
Sure.
And, or transcribe it.
Or translate it into fucking Brian Etter music.
That's right,
Brian
yeah.
Sorry.
In other words, yeah,
Brian's
I get
that
it.
Other guy
I
who
get
does
it.
Ragtime.
I'm not a ragtime guy.
That's right. That's why I fucked up.
Don't do that.
I got ragtime just head boggled. You'll hear when you hear the thing. Head boggled.
Like the Brian Setzer yeah. Orchestra? Or
Brian Setzer, I think he's a little more rockabilly, but.
He's, yeah.
Ragtime is more of a Scott Joplin thing.
Right, okay. Right.
And then obviously interlude is the middle of the piece, right?
Yeah, just a little, that little ditty, just a little, actually, I mean, that was a larger piece, and when we tried recording, like, the second half of it, it's just like, I don't know. I actually showed it to Phil, who you know, Phil Wagner, and, like, I showed him the rough mix. We were driving, I got this convertible.
Yeah.
No? So driving the convertible, I'm like, check out this rough mix. And he's like, He's like, everything was amazing, but that one part, that one song just didn't cut it. So I made it into an interlude and just
That's
used the first part.
That's what friends are for.
Yeah. Some honest feedback. Thank you, Phil.
Well, to fucking whoop out the fucking scissors when necessary. So let's talk about the recording. Because you're saying that it actually was recorded at the church. So did people bring in equipment?
I did, yeah. I set it up with Eric McCann, the bassist. He's also
a little engineer. A little studio, but didn't you actually use the space?
Oh, yeah. No, we were, like, up on the church stage at this in this big-ass sanctuary. Lots of reverb. And then when I finished mixing, I even went back to the church and blasted the music out into the church and got the even more reverb out of it, you know? So it was louder than real life. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Were they playing, like, they sitting in the pews?
Yeah, they're up on the stage.
You mean where the altar is and stuff?
Yeah, but there are pews up there for, like, the choir, and that's kind of where they're sitting,
okay,
yeah.
Okay. Did you use close miking or far away or both, combination of both?
Yeah, both, but mostly the close mics were really useful. The room mics, the room mics were kind of, I had some issues because the roof would creak sometimes and whatnot. So when I went back and reamped the music, then I really captured the room. So, but made, a lot of it's kind of live, more or less, you know, the recording, just a little bit of editing.
Which shows you what fucking bitching players those people are, man. It's beautiful.
Yeah, they have to play the same lines over and over. It's so simple. It's, like, painful, I feel like, for some of them. You know, like just repeating the same part over and over.
I appreciate it. So what about, you said it was done in two sessions, a year apart.
Yeah.
What the difference between the sessions? Some players overlap, but some had different players.
Yeah. Some different players. And I had to re-record that number three rhubarb cover because it was just too out of tune and it just wasn't vibing. I couldn't get over it. So, I'm glad I did another session.
So the second session was to try to correct some fuck ups, but it actually was also more parts of the
better. Yeah, better new music too.
Better, like, because you learn more from the first session, right?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, and I wrote some better stuff, like the Pure Ride the World.
Yeah.
That's kind of one of my favorites.
Also, we're probably listening to the later recordings first.
Yeah, it's just whatever kind of fit the, you know, arc, you know, putting it together afterwards.
What about the preparation? Did these guys prac with you, or is that why it took a lot of takes?
No practice.
Yeah.
No, it was quick, though. You know, we did it all in three-hour sessions.
When you tell me over and over, that sounds like a lot of takes.
Oh, no, they just had to repeat. No, just because the compositions are so simple.
Ostinatos, a lot of the figures, they're repeated.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. No, we do them in very few takes, yeah.
That's probably why it's got such a good feel, because it doesn't sound like... I remember the story of James Jamerson in the studio with Smokey Robinson. He said, about take 248, the rigor mortis started to sit in the groove.
Ew. Oh, man. Yeah. Yeah, that's too much. That's too much. I can't afford that.
The horror. Well, yeah, how many Barry Gordy was paying in pennies. So.
How many takes do you do?
Smokey Robinson just did another album. That cat's still cooking.
Man.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, still cooking, kicking like Kato. Which is an inspiration to us, right? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. So, let me ask you this. Was anybody kind of a difficult, or was everybody on board
with the music?
Yeah,
everyone was cool. Everyone was super cool.
You didn't have any drama shit.
No. I make sure I get like the most expensive water bottles I can find, and I give them to the players. I got this crazy. They're glass. They're little bottles, but they were fucking glass, and it was like, you know, fucking Icelandic, fucking, you know, New Age water from Whole Foods. And that really sets the tone. They're like, oh,
yeah.
Ooh, Sedona Mountain Spring water from the glass. Okay.
It might also help to check out the personalities ahead of time. Sometimes cats are really player, not fun to play with.
I've been hearing some, I hear some gossip here and there, you know. People talking shit. People being prima donnas that are really good.
Sometimes
you know?
Good shit comes out of that, believe it or not, but... It's always yeah. great to hear that something great came out of like a calm thing without that.
Mm. Like Money Jungle or whatever, that album.
Oh,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, really
the
pissed
trio
each
between,
other.
Between Max Roach, Charlie Mingus, Duke Ellington.
Yeah.
A lot of guys like, doing reviews say, oh, Charlie Mingus ruined it by trying to overplay and shit like that. But I like
yeah,
that record.
The passive-aggressive, like, playing and stuff. It's
We're
great.
Fucking playing with the Duke, right? I mean...
Yeah.
You know, it's
I would like to do
you know
that.
Us,
like, get someone to stop.
Because the Duke was doing a couple of collabs at that period. He did, in fact, does an album with John Coltrane where they use each other's rhythm sections. Look, we're at that point in the show where it's righteous time for what? Because he gets to say, bring forth Spin Cycle Brother Matt.
Thank you. And away we go.
Your dreams, but mine are sort of hackneyed. Same thing night after night. Just repetitive. And the color is really bad. And the themes are just infantile. And you always get what you want. And that's just not the way life is. Take a test in a Dairy Queen on another planet. And in this dream I looked around and there was this woman. She was making it all up. She was writing it all down. And she was laughing. She was laughing her head off. And I said, "Hey, give me that pen." I turned a corner in Soho today and someone looked right at me and said, "Oh no, another Laurie Anderson clone." And I said, "Look at me. Look 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 at me.
Look at that. Look at that.
What made you do what you just did to us with your sponge cyclers?
Well, I'm gonna blame that on Brandon, I guess.
Okay.
Just something he said got me
Brandon.
Going in a...
Brian. No,
Brandon. Yeah, he's the one. So, you're going to blame him for that one.
Okay, you get the blame.
Thank you. Thank you.
I was bitching about that.
Thank you
so much. It's been the second hour of February 23, 2023 edition of Wat Pedro Show. Hold tight for hour three. February 23, 2023. It's the third hour of the Wat Pedro Show.
Thank you. Thank you.
Show. People, we start off the third hour. I think this is part eight? I think it is. Of Therapy, the big piece, Brendan Etter with his Brendan Etter ensemble. And this is No More, in parentheses. Then we had Crane with The End of All Wars.
Hey, Crane.
I think it's the fourth one, because every day he kept saying, no, that ain't the right one. No, that ain't the right one. So I think maybe I got the right one. By the way, he wants some words from you.
Oh.
Because our pictures from the Pleasure Point Proj.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
If you feed him some poems, he'll come up with the music and I'll put on the bass.
Oh, bitchin'.
All he needs out of you is words.
Cool.
And then he says, once we get that done, then you can bring in the fucking slide guitar.
Oh, okay. You've got to figure that part out.
Just
start one step at a time. Okay. Cool.
You hear that, Crane? That's how we do it.
Right on.
Working out through the Waffle. Then we had 99 Letters out of Japan with Zanzhou, Muskeg Mudsuck, Anchorage, Alaska with Quarter, and finally, part 9, it's called Number 17 of the Therapy piece, Brendan Etter Ensemble. Number 17, does this have something to do with number 3 earlier in the piece?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's another Aphex Twin cover.
So he likes to name his songs with numbers?
Yeah, the ambient stuff he did, yeah. And then he did have names like Rhubarb for number 3, but it's weird, like the U.S. release for the album was just numbers, and like the European issue or something like that had said Rhubarb. It's kind of a gray area. I don't really understand
it.
Right. People on Reddit know.
Information is too easy. He thinks it's too easy. It's too simple.
No.
Give us a challenge. Okay. And what about Ah?
Ah, No More?
Parenthesis.
Yeah, just
no
another, I don't know, kind of meditative, but for me, kind of intense piece. Just really emotional music.
I'm not thinking of meditation. For me. I don't think of intense, but
I know that's the problem. It's okay. Not therapy isn't always easy. You know, sound bath. It's not a sound bath. It's like actually processing. The idea is like to actually deal with life. You know, deal with shit. You know, or like just the human experience. It's kind of like a. If anything meditative is about it, it's kind of meditating on the human experience.
Can I ask you something like, it might be a parallel? What about therapists? Have you ever dealt with a therapist?
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah. I tried it twice.
What do you think?
Pretty cool.
It's pretty cool. Some of those experiences in the piece?
No, okay. Definitely not. I just had to call it therapy. I tried so hard to come up with other names, and like, they were too corny or just, I don't know. I ended up circling back. I was going to call it ambient
therapy
wins.
Is a good word because it can be used for a lot of things. It's just something to get you through something, right?
Does it, but does it sound kind of bold or like kind of pretentious in a way to you or no?
No, it sounds it sounds like some guy trying to confront a situation.
Okay, cool.
With some kind of dharma, right? Some kind of thing that's going to work, hopefully.
Yeah, hopefully, yeah. I'm going to try acupuncture today.
Did
you? Have you ever done that?
Yeah.
Brother Matt,
I got poked.
You got poked?
Yeah, it's been effective. It helps, yeah. Yeah, it's trippy where they put those things. It doesn't really hurt.
You sit there. Screw them in, right?
Yeah, and then sometimes the dude might like have a little incense stick and hit it like it's a lightning bolt, and just like you feel it shoot down. That's kind of bitchy.
Because they're getting at some like nervous system.
Yeah, blockages and shit. You get the flow.
Yeah, freeing it up. Whoa!
And they start bawling on the table or something.
They hit the right spot.
So look, we're gonna play the last part of the piece here.
I love the song.
1-3-7 riddle.
Thank you. Uh-huh. Thank you. Thank you.
This edition. That chunk started off with Brendan. Lose that word, Brian. There ain't no Brian involved. It's Brendan Etter. And it's a Brendan Etter ensemble with 137 Riddle, the 10th and final part of Therapy. And Jack Wright and Ben Bennett with this album that just came out, a duet, a free form. In fact, Mr. Jack Wright, sax man, wrote a book called The Free Music. Mm-hmm. It's about, you know, I guess you call it free jazz. Mm-hmm. Bette Flock is the name of the title. And finally, I found this. Maybe it's your grandma. Purple, I saw a video on YouTube.com.
Oh, yeah.
And got you dancing and shit, and then...
You watched that? Hell yeah.
Came to your grandma in a dream.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Yeah, I'm glad you watched it. I make these music videos, and they probably has like 300 views or something. It took me 6 months to make. Crazy, man. I'm done with
justice, music videos. Brother Brandon. No justice. Look at Vincent. He sells one painting in his life nowadays. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, well, hey, I don't think I'm gonna. Maybe people will start to watch the videos at some point. No, I just gotta really.
Mr. Wells learned us no wine before it's time. Okay.
Oh, that's so cool. He saw the video. But I'm glad you saw it. That's like counts for like 100 views.
Okay. Now, people, that ain't part of the piece. But no. I wanted to fill up all level spots with Brendan.
Everyone, check out my video, Purple. Brendan Adderall Songboy. Busted my ass on that music video.
But let's rap about the last part of the therapy piece. 137 Riddle.
Yeah.
Some
kind
of Kabbalah.
That's right. Yeah, man. Like, really.
I was
going to
say,
stuff.
Because I think that number is a heavy number.
You know about it? Oh, yeah.
A little bit.
I didn't know about it. I started making this piece with this piano ostinato. It was just going up and down. Just 1-2, 1-2 chords, basically, just inverting up. And then, anyway, the tempo was 137.
BPM.
And I was like, weird. I was like tapping to tempo to find out what the tempo I wanted was.
Yeah.
And I was like, huh. It just seemed like weird. I didn't think much of it. Kept working. And I titled the piece Riddle. That was like my temporary title. And then later on, I look it up. I'm like, what the fuck? And like found about this number, 137. And it was very... The meanings and stuff behind it were really similar to some of the themes I was already exploring with the album. And I was just like, that's really serendipitous or bizarre.
Meant to be.
Yeah, like in the Kabbalah and stuff, like they talk about that number.
We should tell the listeners, there's an idea that goes way back, you know, of Talmud stuff, where the letters actually have numbers. And it's kind of an early form of chemistry, or you can spell out things like, the partner of the Red Sea was a word that's got a number equivalent and stuff. Even Genesis, the creation was a word with a kind of numeric value. And it's a long time ago thing, but it's trippy kind of wisdom.
It's really trippy learning about that number, too. With the Jewish mystics talking about it, representing this spiritual/physical kind of threshold. It's weird, deep stuff. And then the other thing about it is that theoretical physicists and all these scientists basically think of it as like one of the most provocative, you know, sort of important numbers ever. It's like this crazy universal number that shows up all over the place. And so anyway, I encourage people to read about it.
It's a big prime, right? It can't really be divided.
Except
itself.
It's called a fine structure constant or something like
it's trip, you know, math has got, it's got a lot of religious properties to it, mathematics. It's really kind of trippy. It
just fell into my lap with that song.
You know, I don't know what to say about that stuff because I don't want to make anyone angry, but it is a trip and my mind gets blown and I'm so glad you used it as something to fucking come up with some bitchin' music.
Yeah, or it's sort of like it kind of it inserted itself in its own way. I don't know. Something weird happened there.
I really like
that.
Like Popeye said, right? I am what I am.
Yeah.
Now, what's your next plan?
My next plan is, I got to promote this album. Everyone, the album comes out March 3rd. That's next Friday. And I'm playing this big show at the Lodge Room in Highland Park on March 5th with Vinyl Williams.
It's a Masonic temple, people. It's upstairs, but there's an elevator. So the schlep ain't too hard. Mm-hmm.
It's going to be a killer show. I'm going to have like a 9-piece chamber ensemble going. Definitely going to be a good show March 5th. After that, I just don't know how to tour, Mike. Like,
I want to write. Do you got any compositions you want to record? Is there more music coming out of you? Do you feel it come? Because a lot of cats, right when they get something done, they're chomping at the bit to get the next fucking bit out.
No, I'm trying to get my act together. I feel like I haven't been disciplined and in the creative kind of mindset.
In the performance
mindset.
Part. You want to perform.
Yeah, I'm more like...
You want to work the room.
Mono promo.
Yeah.
I'm like promoting myself on stuff.
Well, when it comes time for you to do more music, the invite's there. You come visit me and Brother Matt with your new creations, and we'll play it and talk about it. It's righteous.
Yeah, thanks.
You,
yeah.
Okay.
Thanks so much.
Absolute. Anytime. Every time. People, it's been February 23rd, 2023 edition. WAP Pedro, so keep your powder dry.